that will be featured at this year's Taking Nature Black Conference, March 5th through the 8th. Presented by Nature Forward and themed Reclamation and Resilience, with both online and in-person participation for connection, knowledge, inspiration, and more. Details about Taking Nature Black Conference at natureforward.org/takingnatureblack, all one word, Taking Nature Black. That's Taking Nature Black, Reclamation and Resilience, March 5th through the 8th. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Hello, I'm David Whetstone, and you're listening to member-supported WPFW Washington.
Today, charter, of course, of the love of today. Now you're clear. Homeward bound are we. Listen, dear, as you sound your
good evening, all you folks out there in radio land. This is Suge's Line for Inside Out Radio Collective. So if you're in DC or the surrounding areas, your dial is turned to 89.3 WPFW. This is listener supported. This is community powered radio. This station is bringing unique, important, and voices that are just invested in our communities and our stories our way. So I should answer the question, what is Inside Out? And it's a collective of different broadcasting hosts. And we are all creating programming that illuminates and celebrates rich diversity inside of the LGBTQIA plus community, to just talk about our experiences. And it broadcasts terrestrially every Monday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern time. So maybe as the name implies, Inside Out is it's supposed to take you inside of our community to look at everything from pop culture to current events to politics through an inclusive lens, because a lot of times queer voices are left out of the story, or our stories are being told by someone who cannot speak for us, cannot represent us. And Inside Out is DC's only show of its kind on the FM dial and one of only a handful of shows like this in the country that, you know, have an intent to sort of like put a lens on this community on the FM dial. The song you all just heard was Maiden Voyage, and this is my first time as a broadcaster, as a host of Inside Out, coming to the airways. But my history with WPFW is long. It's long, and it has really had a profound impact in my life, as I'm sure so many of you can also relate to that story. Or maybe this is your first time listening to WPFW, and hopefully you have an experience that will just keep you coming back. But there is a legacy here of cutting edge public affairs programming on the station. And I think that, you know, having a show like this, it's just an indication that there is a community in the DC metro and surrounding areas and worldwide, for anyone tuning in, that is curious about, you know, building coalitions across difference. It means something for us to have a resource like this platform collectively when there are so many things that are, you know, left up to the question and to the whims of oligarchs and people with a lot of money. This station is about, you know, the community stepping up to say, we're going to hold this resource and we're going to bring these voices and these shows forward. So, you know, I think it's interesting to me, something that I've learned about radio that I actually found surprising is that when it comes to FM radio, there is very little rules about what you actually can share. You can share, you know, all variety of different types of media, sounds, experiences, And I think I found that surprising because it's very common outside of, you know, this kind of station or programming on WPFW. You hear the same songs every hour. I myself am a touring and performing artist right now, and I've had the experience in the last year of like getting to go all across this country, all across this landmass, really, so-called Turtle Island. And I think that, you know, driving up and down just the East Coast, for example, at the height of, you know, Kendrick Lamar, They Not Like Us craze, every single hour on the hour, no matter what state I was in, you could hear that song, you know, interspersed with, you know, lawyer commercials about who to call if you get in an accident. And honestly, I would say I would relate that experience almost to like being in the desert and, you know, your skin is drying out and you're just trying to do anything that you can to get to water and a sense of nourishment to just, you know, feed something in yourself. If it's, you know, hearing a story about something that's going on around you, or hearing a song that's just going to really, you know, deepen your experience of the present moment. I think that's what, you know, listening to music and radio has the power to do. But yeah, I find that community radio is the place, you know, that is sort of like that oasis in the desert. It's a great way to take the pulse of a community and its culture wherever you are. So, you know, our culture here in the DC metro area is, you know, jazz and justice. And I think too, like hearing community radio across the country is, you know, just sort of gives you a sense that it's not monolithic. Like our experiences of what is going on around us right now and what it means, it's very individual to where we are. So, you know, I've had amazing, amazing experiences over the years listening to WPFW. I think that what comes to mind for me is like early in the morning, drive time jazz. I kind of wonder why like young people, high schoolers, our school age folks, why they have to wake up at the crack of dawn to you know, get their day going. But I will say that, you know, hearing a soundtrack of jazz, at least in my mornings as a high schooler, it really just, you know, added something different to my day. I think about Meeting in the Ladies Room, which was a show that was on Friday nights. And I remember that in the height of COVID isolation, sort of like at the end of 20 into 2021, I remember that show being on the airways Friday nights and that sort of replacing, you know, the dancing that I would like to do going out at the club. And I remember hearing D. Clark spin on the radio, who is an incredible vinyl DJ in this area. If you know, you know about D. Clark. And I just remember pausing from the broadcast thinking like, wow, I'm covered with sweat in the middle of my living room right now because of what WPFW is bringing to my airways. Or also just like receiving top-notch political education, because there's so many different people that are brought here that are of this community and wanting to share a perspective that ultimately can help us advance our community. I think that in the current moment, I think I myself have had to confront what I thought I knew about my own political education. And I did a lot of that while listening to different folks on WPFW sharing their experiences and sort of like trying to galvanize us into thinking, what can we do? But something consistent that we can do is to support WPFW. And I think that, you know, listening in this time is, you know, just a great place to be. But anyhow, Shug's Line, that's me. We're set to air on the fourth Mondays from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern. So you'll be able to tune in and sort of like hear where I'm coming from now as a part of Inside Out Collective. And all this to say, I'm just really, really happy to be a part of what WPFW is moving through the world. But anyhow, if you tuned in at the top of the hour, after the intro music, you just heard Maiden Voyage, as told by John Lucien on the 1975 record Song for My Lady. I'm proud to say I have that in my physical collection. Someone gave it to me and they came up on it in a dollar bin, which, shout out to all the record stores that are putting dollar bins out there for folks. You never know what you might find if you're like me and you tend to find yourself balling on a budget. The dollar bin at the record store is for you. And I know that like vinyl collecting, it does kind of have a hipster mystique around it, meaning that it seems to be more for people who have expendable income. But I think that, you know, I just want to wake up the value of physical media. When you hear stories about how Spotify is exploiting the artistic community or spending its money to do things that, you know, you don't necessarily agree with. And you think about, you know, cutting yourself off from, I mean, I know for myself, at least streaming is, it has been in my development, like a primary source of where I'm accessing music. It's meaningful to kind of like break up that relationship by, you know, supporting a local store or, you know, getting to pick up a record and see what's on the jacket, see the information that is pressed upon a physical object. But yes, I have that record in my collection, and I had to play Maiden Voyage for my first show. Like I couldn't think of a better song. And John Lucien's booming, rich baritone is just iconic. Like, I hope that your car started floating a little bit if you're stuck in terrible DC traffic out there, you know, that you just sort of held onto that as the last light, you know, sort of slipped down beneath the horizon. Because I know too the kind of people that listen to WPFW, most people probably have heard a different version of Maiden Voyage by the iconic Herbie Hancock. It's a classic modal song, and the lyrics actually were written by Herbie Hancock's sister. She penned the words that you hear John Lucien singing. And yeah, I think that, you know, this was a pretty obvious connection that it's my Maiden Voyage. And I thought to myself, I should play Maiden Voyage. but yeah, Suge's Line describes a personal ethos for exploring music and sort of waking up the different connections that come to us through sonic pathways. I think, yeah, being a radio listener, I have moments of feeling like my life is being soundtracked. If I'm, you know, on a Sunday evening and listening to mambo music, it just sort of like gives me a different rhythm to approach my life with. And, you know, then my memories and my experiences become layered onto different compositions. And I feel like, you know, I'm invited to explore universes around me and inside of me. Because each individual has multitudes inside themselves to explore and to wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. So I think that that's what music allows us to do. And I think that, yeah, that's definitely a theme that I plan to explore in the show. I got a little bit more music, and I also have a little bit of a theme to talk about today. That I am entitling X Marks the Spot, to sort of like uplift some of the experiences that the trans community is going through right now, due to executive orders that were promised to us on the first day in the office of the current administration, to limit the ability for folks to access documentation that accurately reflects their identities, their names, how they're moving through the world. I feel like this is a very ongoing situation. Sometimes reports of what people are experiencing, are changing like hour to hour. Like again, this country is not monolithic. Like people are having different experiences all over the country. But yeah, like I said, as someone who's a touring musician right now, I've really had the opportunity to start building coalitions with people everywhere I go to pull up on them and to actually kind of try to take a pulse through listening, to figure out what's going on. But we'll get into that a little bit more. But for now, we're going to hear some more music, including a little bit of the original Maiden Voyage by Herbie Hancock, and an original mix, an original Suge's Line mix entitled not a girl anymore. Bonus points to anyone out there who can recognize the sample and the flip of not a girl anymore. But we're rolling into that. And thanks for listening. This is Shug's Line for Inside Out Radio on WPFW 89.3. That was an original mix that I call Not a Girl Anymore, as you heard the voice singing over and over and over again. And I think that for me, that wakes up a certain experience implicit to my own personal gender odyssey of something that, you know, I'm moving towards, of not being, you know, a young person anymore, like the person describes, you know, just about growing up. And, you know, that sample is from an Angela Bofill record, Rest in Power, to Angela Bofill. And I think that a lot of times in, you know, sample-based music, we really get the opportunity to, again, wake up different themes and what someone might be speaking about by layering or looping or isolating a certain granule, just a small little part of the song to like make it speak in a different way. But the theme, again, for the day that I shared before the little musical moment just now is X marks a spot and talking about what folks are facing right now, specifically trans communities are facing with recent promised policy changes to the process of documenting, of securing legal documentations for identification. So that includes passport documents, social security, and IDs. Recently in 2024, many folks sort of had to go through the process of getting a real ID, which would just mean that your driver's license has a star on it. And that is a program or process that the federal government has been trying to implement and get started since the Real ID Act passed in 2005. So just sort of like thinking about, you know, two decades of working on policy. Similarly, we're facing someone who came into an administration that came in with the intent of sort of sowing discord and creating executive orders that don't really have any real plans for how they are enforced, how federal agencies are supposed to apply them to people, you know, doing the legitimate processes of garnering their documents, getting their documents together to have, you know, for valid purposes in the world. And I think that an important lens on this issue for me is that, you know, what's policy to some people is personal for other people. It's personally impacting many folks in the trans community. So, you know, folks in the trans community, again, across the country, listening to what was promised from the entire campaign and from, you know, the previous presidency, the previous term of the administrators in office right now, they took that seriously. And so there was a lot of organizing that happened to get people their federal documents before Inauguration Day. I personally was like involved in processes of sort of amplifying information about mutual aid efforts that were happening for folks to sign up and make sure that, you know, they have access to the necessary documents, like, you know, a birth certificate that reflects their name and their identity, social security, driver's license, all of those things. Because it's quite common for trans folks to not have any pieces of documentation that actually accurately reflect them. There's a national trans survey that happened that sort of tracks data on that. And that was like a finding that many folks, you know, didn't actually have access to those items. Folks right now, even in the midst of the chaos that has been sown by these executive orders, are still working on getting their information accurately reflected. So right now, passport agencies specifically, where folks have submitted their documentation to get a gender marker specifically, those applications are on hold right now for processing. They're kind of being put to the side. They're not being confiscated or anything like that, but they're being put to the side as new orders, new policies are trying to be writ to figure out what do we do in the midst of this executive order. But those things aren't set yet. Even as early as this morning, outside of passport processing, folks have been able to get social security documents. Their gender markers changed in social security offices to match, you know, to match what they needed to say, to be accurate reflection of them. And the situation and its impacts are ongoing. It's an emerging situation. What the impacts are going to be for folks who are in practice with actual documents that are submitted to federal agencies, and for folks who are going to be seeking that, renewing that. Basically, things are not clear right now for a lot of people. And a lot of places that are reporting that things are clear, they're not. They're not clear at this moment. But anyhow, this is Shug Zine for Inside Out, and you're listening to WPFW 89.3. This is Suge's Line for Inside Out. You're listening to WPFW 89.3. And that last composition you may recognize, I grew up myself in a Stevie Wonder household. And gosh, hearing that song, Don't You Worry About a Thing, as told by David Axelrod, who was just like a recording guru in the 70s. If you look up David Axelrod's credits, he recorded a lot of classic music, and released the album that composition was, you know, arranged on. And it just spoke to my spirit right now, because I think that it goes along with the theme. X marks the spot, and sort of can be a balm to folks who are really facing challenges right now, trans folks who are facing challenges right now when it comes to seeking clear information about how to proceed going about getting documents that you need. You need a social security card, you need an ID, you need, you know, these things to reflect you and to allow you to do legitimate things like, you know, move in and out of the country or go into federal buildings to access different services. People need these things. I think that there is definitely a tie or a site of coalition building, I think, that can happen between undocumented folks and trans folks. Not even to mention undocumented trans folks, like all these folks exist out here and we're living and we're inside of a system that is purposefully sowing chaos and confusion. I will say that from trusted sources that I'm accessing right now, it is a priority for folks who are in the process of trying to change their gender markers on documentations to file and get into Social Security as soon as possible. If you live in a larger metropolitan area where there is, you know, more folks who will be calling Social Security and trying to get in, you may experience longer wait times on the phone. But something I've seen recommended to do is that you can call Social Security offices in smaller areas, like say, you know, somewhere like a small Social Security office in Washington State, for example, or any state that has a smaller population or that's a little further away than a large metropolitan area. You can call them to get information about the status of any applications that you may have. But you can also just make a day of it. You can make a day of going in person to a Social Security office to get your name, gender marker, whatever information changed that you need to get changed. It's not recommended right now for folks specifically trying to process a gender marker change to file passport applications right now, because applications that are already in the system that have gender marker changes pending, they're just sort of being put off to the side. They're being put on hold as new rules are being established. We don't know what those rules are. We don't know or have any information about how they will impact folks who may have already changed their genders. We don't know how those things are going to unfold right now. But I will say my personal lens on this, and again, this is personal for me. This is not policy to me. This is something that is impacting me and folks that I know directly, is don't worry. Do not panic. We have to be calm. We have to be focused. We have to be collected. And I'm not saying that it's not hard. I'm not saying that it's not challenging, but, you know, I think that's what we are tasked to do right now. And I know something that has personally supported me in part is, you know, listening to Don't You Worry About a Thing every day. That's how I've been starting my days, is listening to that song to sort of like get my energy right, but also really thinking about where are my sources of information coming from. I think that right now our community is very sensitive, and rightfully so, to misinformation. So I think it's very key for us to try to be discerning about where our information is coming from. So one rule of thumb that I am personally implementing in my process of seeking information, seeking organizations that I can trust to give me information about what's going to impact me, is get information from organizations and individuals that are actually in communication with trans people. I'll say it again and again. There's a difference between things that are policy and things that are personally going to impact you. So if you're going to an organization for information that is not geared towards the trans community, that does not have trans people working for them, that does not, you know, it doesn't serve the trans community, it's not taking things that are inside the trans community and the experiences that we're having, it's not bringing it out, it's not bringing the stories out to the world appropriately or in ways that aren't causing panic. So I think it's very important to also think about, there are organizations on the front lines that are trans folks who are specifically creating services to serve other transgender folks. These are the voices that we need to be uplifting. And these are things that are the most accurate. So some of the folks that I'm in community with, I could say today, they were able to accurately get things that reflect a gender marker change on Social Security. Ideally, you know, because as we put information out there about what's going on in our community to a larger, wider audience of folks who are, you know, in coalition and solidarity with us, and folks who, you know, will use that information to sow more chaos, like folks in the current administration. I think that, you know, we need to like figure out where are the people that we can trust? Who are the people who are doing this work that is catered to us? And I think that, you know, another thing that I've seen a lot of the time is that as trans folks are building these systems for ourselves, they are quick. We just need people to tap in and support the leadership that we already have inside of our communities. And I think a way that that looks for a lot is through mutual aid, through garnering resources, resource sharing. But we don't need folks to set up another committee for trans people that only has one trans person on it that is probably being talked down to by their coworkers. You know, we can go straight to the trans folks who are doing this work. They are able to be found, and they are supporting trans folks around you. They oftentimes have direct touch points to the folks that you see that are moving around. Another thing that I would offer for some perspective as the situation involves is watch out for fear-mongering and misinformation. I think something I've seen a lot around is that passports are being confiscated. That language does not serve us, and it does not accurately reflect what's going on right now as passport applications are being put to the side for processing. We don't know how these applications will be processed. No one saying we know how these applications are going to be processed is correct. There's been no directive. There's been no policy developed or put forward by the State Department to say what's going to happen to folks. We don't know right now. Things are just on hold right now. We don't know if they're going to send those applications back. We don't know if they're going to process them with a different gender marker than what was already there. We don't know how a valid X passport, folks who may have an X identification on their passport, how they will be treated if those passports were invalidated. We don't know. So folks who are sort of like presenting information as if it is finite, as if it is policy, it's not correct. And I think that another issue that a lot of folks are running into is if you are getting information from Google, for example, or from social media, a lot of times there's a new feature I've noticed on Google called AI Summary, which is a AI algorithm that is scanning the question that you ask, and it is aggregating, you know, all the web pages that pull up information that respond to your question and trying to download it into a summary format. The problem with this, you know, besides AI drinking all of the water and being a huge, you know, suck of our natural resources, and just like generally not doing anything for us, is it can pull information from websites that are not correct. It can pull out of date information and compile it into a summary. So if you know, go in to really find important information about how to get your name changed, how to get your documents changed, and you're relying on information from an AI summary or from an outdated source, it is not going to support you in moving efficiently, accurately to getting what you need to get done. So I think that, you know, that can be another source of fear, of anxiety, which functions to limit us in our power, limit us in our ways to be active and effective at responding to a situation that's in front of us. So I think it's very important to be able to identify where narratives, where informations are coming from, when they are sown with the intent of causing chaos and harm. And to remember and connect to the fact that information can be a site of both empowerment and preparation. Information can be something that prepares you to respond to an emerging situation effectively. Information can arm you with the tools to do that. And I think that's what's so exciting about information that often comes to our community through a community source like WPFW, is its information is put out to the community with the expressed intent of empowering us, of sharing our stories, our way, of telling us what we need to know to keep us going, not to disable us, not to impair us, rather, from moving effectively. I would say the last and final thing that I would say sort of is like informing my perspective right now is keep records of what is happening to you. Document it, write it, historicize your personal experience. If that's through keeping a journal, if you receive information from Social Security, from these different federal agencies in this time, keep a record of those things so that you can kind of go back and reference them and have an idea of what actually is going on. And I think that too, once you plug into information sources that are connecting you to folks who are serving the trans community, that's when you start to get information, stories, historical accounts, narratives, current events that are actually relevant to what people are experiencing. There's all this sort of like, you know, fear right now around, you know, what it may mean to have an X gender marker, which, you know, was made available to people under the Biden administration in 2021. But even before Trump got in office, I have heard about someone I'm in community with, sort of that's like one person removed from me, that, you know, had the experience of going on tour to, I believe, Saudi Arabia and not being able to enter the country because of the X on their passport. And, you know, that is irrespective of the current administration. Like, so, but also too, again, I think as I've said, you know, I've also seen sources and heard accounts of folks who today, as of 9 a.m. today, you know, successfully got their gender marker changed via Social Security. So there's trials and there's triumphs. Those things are going to be personal. Those things are going to be echoed and reflected out back across the experiences we're having as a community at large. And I think that, yeah, our role is to document those things. So, you know, as we kind of come to the close, or, you know, sort of like to transitioning, I would say that there's like some affirmations specifically that I would want to offer to folks who are in this process right now. Something that I say to myself a lot is that we are here because our ancestors were here. I am a native of Prince George's County. I grew up here. And if we say anything about Pretty Girl County, it is a conservative place. It is a place that has a vested interest, oftentimes, in hiding, invisibilizing, and making less accessible the history of trans people and LGBT people, folks who are not cisgender, heterosexual people. And, you know, I know that my experience growing up here was feeling like, wow, am I the first gender non-conforming trans person ever to exist, because I just simply did not see it. My first sort of like lens of really understanding explicitly what you know, queerness was from watching Glee on television. And I was, you know, way older when I kind of had that experience. But yeah, there's a concerted effort to miseducate folks. But I think what's important to remember is that there has been gender variance, there has been queerness since the beginning of time, from the beginning of time. As long as there has been humans, as long as there has been society, as long as there is culture, it is coming from us, because the people before us made it so that it is possible for us to be here. And I think that is something that I just hold on to so very, very, very much, to empower me and to remind me that I have a right to exist. And even if I don't have a right to exist, I do exist. I'm standing in front of you. I'm speaking. I am having a profoundly human experience of myself that I am the authority of, and nobody else gets to tell me about that. And so I look back to my ancestors who were fly, who were popping, who were the ones making the culture that folks want to be a part of, that folks value and folks carry. Those things are our birthright. Those are the things that create the grounding and the energy for us to stand on, whether it's, you know, Luther Vandross, whether it's literally pick any of the greatest blues singers, whether it's Ma Rainey, whether it's Bessie Smith, whether it's Gladys Bentley, whether it's Little Richard, whether it's Sylvester. If it's lit, it's a lot of times coming from gender variant folks. And people like to pick and choose when they want to accept gender variant folks. And a lot of time it's when we're doing a song and a dance. And we do more than that, and we contribute more than that, and we have more value than that. But all that to say, you're here, we're here, because our ancestors are here. And I'm speaking specifically to like queer folks right now who may be listening. Another important thing to emphasize about the fact that we are here and we have always been here is that transgender people have been living with and traveling with legal ID that does not match their gender presentation for decades. I think that if we want to sort of like open it up and sort of focus sort of at large on where the touch points are for where folks can build capacity with the trans community, is that we live in a surveillance state. We live in a hyper-militarized surveillance state. So real ID, documentation, all these things are about giving systems and power more ways to track who we are and identify if we are a threat or not, to disrupt the ways in which we can build coalitions and power with one another. And that actually impacts all of us. And the current administration, in sowing chaos and confusions, wants us to believe that this issue ideologically is just about transgender people. But no, we're less than 1% documented of the United States population right now. And, you know, they're trying to pick off a smaller group of the community having this human experience via these executive orders that are actively impacting folks right now who are trying to legitimately get their information together. But folks have been surviving and thriving in spite of this whole entire time, which speaks to why I'm even able to come to you here today. I think a great narrative of this that people can access is in is via stories that Miss Major tells. Miss Major, if you're not familiar with Miss Major, is an iconic trans elder who was present at Stonewall. And Miss Major Speaks is a really incredible book that I had the pleasure of reading last year and that I kind of go back to frequently. But Miss Major talks about her own journey of changing her gender marker many times to just sort of move with what she needed at the time. So I would say, you know, we're out here right now and we're playing a game to be able to be legitimate and to access what we need. But we do deserve to be accurately reflected and contained and to be able to get access to the things that our documents provide. I think it's also important to uplift that we are more than our documents. You're more than your name. You're more than what the state or the folks try to identify you as. You are the authority on who you are. No matter who you are the first authority on who you are. And I think that it's really telling if folks feel any tension in their spirit about respecting that each individual is the authority of their own self and who they are and where they come from. So yeah, I think those are the affirmations that I really have to offer. I think that a great organization that I'm aware of is Trans Maryland right now, that has been doing amazing work for a very long time with keeping track of specifically what's going on in Maryland. But I think that in general, it's important right now to, if you have trans folks in your life, if you are a trans person, if you are a gender variant person, to, you know, trust and believe that the things will be okay. The things that you will be able to access what you need, that you are legitimate, that you are authority on your life and your journey, and that you deserve to fully express that as much as any other person. And I wish, you know, fruitful alignment towards transgender folks with, you know, discerning, who is really going to stand up and be with us right now in this time, and not just when we're making the lit TV shows or the songs or the dances or the fashions or the looks or the vibes that people want to be a part of. Who's going to actually stand up and realize that all of our struggles are really, really, really intertwined, and who's going to move forward? And I think that I feel very honored to just get to speak to the WPFW community. This is Shug's Line Radio. I'm really, really grateful to be a part of Inside Out. I have heard so much great programming from Inside Out Radio over just this year, from the other hosts that are on here on Mondays from 6 to 7 p.m. You can find Inside Out Radio on Facebook. Although low-key, we need to figure out what's next after Meta. Like, we need to figure out what's next. And I think that it is such a value that, you know, no matter what happens with Meta, because if anybody remembers, let's say, Black Planet, or if anybody remembers MySpace, you can wake up one day. If anybody remembers the two-day TikTok ban, the 24-hour TikTok ban, you can wake up one day and it could just be gone. But you know, we're actually here. We're actually here in social media, Meta, X, Blue Sky, Red Note, whatever it is. It is just mediating our experience of connecting to one another. And WPFW, broadcasting terrestrially, on the airwaves and online worldwide, is a site of real community and real voices. And as long as WPFW is here, as long as you can turn your dial to 89.3, you can plug in. You can plug in to community and hear things like this programming. I think it's important to mention that, yeah, WPFW is listener supported. It's probably one of the earliest examples of mutual aid I've ever seen outside of, you know, a common thing I've seen in the DC area is, you know, if folks are at a poetry reading, for example, or in a church, I've seen folks take up collection for folks. And, you know, spiritually, energetically, there's different points of the year called pledge drives where WPFW takes up a collection from the folks who get poured into by the station. Everyone who broadcasts on the station are volunteers. We pour into this community because the community of WPFW has poured into us. And Pledge Drive season is February 9th to the 22nd. It's coming up. Somehow we really are at the end of January. I don't know about y'all, but for me, January felt like I feel like the year has already tried to try me. The year has already tried to try me, and it's only the first month. So, you know, I'll leave on the note of pace yourself. Pace yourself, take your time, get ready for pledge drive season, stay tapped into the community around you, and aim true. The next time Shug's Line Radio will be broadcasting with the Inside Out Collective will be in February. It will be February 24th. You will hear my voice on, the fourth Mondays. And I'm just looking forward to doing this. And thanks for listening. And yes, this is WPFW 89.3.
Climate Friday host Reverend Lennox Yearwood Jr. is but one of the black voices in climate and